Welcome back to Mike's Divided. Zach Burhans, Cam Ford, we're back again. Cam, it's been a minute.
It has been a minute, Zach. I'm glad to be back. It's been a lot of fun getting back to it. Just being able to, get back to talking sports, and now that we have sports back with fans at that, which is the best part about it, honestly. So.
It's great. A lot has happened since we've last talked. My allegiance has kind of swayed from Carolina
Right,
to
right. But
NC
you have a
State.
good reasoning.
But yeah,
You have a
I
good
work for
reasoning.
NC State now, so they say money can't buy fans. That's a lie.
No, yeah, that definitely is. I mean, you got to convert. You got to be a good fan for the sport and for your team. They don't want it. They're not going to have you being so biased towards Carolina on that. That
Right, but I
wouldn't
can
work out.
promise you
So,
though, when Duke plays Carolina, I will be a Tar Heel.
of course, but you're also going to be so much more factual based on all your NC State knowledge now. So
This
I'm
is
totally
true,
cool with it.
which nice little teaser you got going on. Yeah, there's I don't know a
Yeah,
lot about
exactly.
Carolina, but I know enough.
There you go, man. Exactly. So, speaking of, I mean, Carolina and Duke and all of them, we'll kind of dive right in here to the ACC. Kind of, we'll just start out here kind of with the power rankings, what you think going forward here. I mean, we kind of talked, like, we've already talked a little bit about it. We kind of got Duke already here at the top just because of their draft class. Paolo Banchero on his own, just being the projected number one lottery pick in the NBA draft in 2022. That's going to be huge, also with the return of Mark Williams for them. So, I mean, what do you got? Anything else you want to add on to that with there, Zach?
Yeah, like I don't like projected number one overall picks in drafts in general. Like, look at Cade
Of course,
Cunningham.
yeah.
Like, it's one of
Oh, yeah.
those you got to put up or shut up. No matter, yes, he's very good. Banchero's
Right.
very good, but can he excel at the college level? Because you can't jump. It's not, this isn't LeBron James and Kobe Bryant.
Oh,
You gotta
of
do
course.
that college time.
Right, exactly. This is the same thing with Chet coming into Gonzaga. It's gonna basically determine a lot depending on his size and how much strength he can have along the boards, because people develop him in size with him and Banchero. Obviously, he's gonna lose that battle every time. So, and same with Mark Williams, he's gonna out muscle him. So unless he gained a lot of well, gained a lot of weight on this offseason, I'm not sure of. That'll be a great game coming in November. But yeah, I mean, more talk about Duke. I mean, keeping an eye on Trevor Keels. A lot of people slept on Trevor Keels coming out of high school. Trevor Keels is really one of those top-notch shooters that Duke's going to have this year. He's going to be knocking down a lot of threes. Showed it a lot on the offseason already, with whether it was scrimmage or when we're playing Winston-Salem State. That was a very close game. I don't know if you saw the highlights from that one there, Zach, but yeah, it was a
I
pretty
mean,
dominant
it was
game
close.
for
What
the
do you
most
mean?
part.
Winston State almost scored 40
I mean, do,
points.
that's right, that's right. Yeah, and I mean, do, and here's the thing. It's just, I think this Duke team, and the reason they're going to be a lot different than last year, I mean, not only the fans being back in Cameron Indoor, but also having, just the deepness of the having the bench. I mean, you're going to be probably starting Wendell Moore, but then you got Jeremy Roach right up there. You'll have Theo John coming off the bench. You're going to already have AJ Griffin. It's going to be a tight team. I mean, everybody's going to be playing for one another. So,
I'll tell you something about Jeremy Roach. If
yeah.
he can develop into a consistent shooter, then it's a
100%.
dangerous team.
Right, right,
But
right. Yeah.
he was so inconsistent last year
Yeah, and that's the
that
thing. And that's the thing that
I
I think
loved it.
too. And that was the and that's the thing though. That's the difference, I think, is like that was the problem we had too with having Trey Jones in there when instead of on Tyus. Tyus was mainly a scorer, and no matter, I mean, he was a great passer too, but when he had to rise up and shoot, he wasn't afraid to do it. And I think that's the main thing. And I'm gonna be honest with you, man, I saw a lot of that in Jeremy Roach's game this offseason. So if he can be that consistent scorer, like you said, it's a very dangerous team. So and that grad Kevin Theo John from being a grad student coming from Marquette or APAN against the Big East, I mean, that's a strong boy coming in. So we got a lot of threats.
I'll tell you something about Joey Baker that
Oh, yeah.
I like him. I do. I think he's a great player. But he has a little scruff going on now. He was the only
Yeah, no,
Duke player against Winston-Salem State to be in foul trouble. He had four fouls against Winston-Salem State. But you
true,
kind of like that
true.
aggressiveness.
Yeah. And that was, I think, something we lacked a lot last year was somebody that, And I think that's really him mainly falling into that senior leadership role now, because he is obviously the only senior on the team. So having him step in and being, you know, that guy to say, hey, this is going to be my team, whether I'm coming off the bench or doing whatever, I'm going to help try to get this team to a championship.
As long as he doesn't turn into a senior that Grayson Allen was.
Okay, you already hated Grayson Allen before senior year, so he's already exceeded
well,
that.
Yeah, period. You know, I can't hate Christian Laettner. I wasn't around at that time. I have fair to enough, hate someone else.
I know, man. I've got my I still love Laettner shirt on right now in honor of tomorrow's game.
Speaking of Christian Laettner, and you have the shirt on, who does Duke play tomorrow?
That's what I'm saying. Kentucky at Madison Square Garden, 9:30 p.m. ESPN. Everybody better tune in. I think it's going to be a fantastic game. It's not going to be, I don't think it's going to be a 34-point blowout like we had with Zion and RJ, but I do think it'll be a good game, and I think it'll be very high scoring. So I'm pumped for it.
You can watch Duke's game. There's a pretty good game on at 8 o'clock.
Yeah, you can watch the Are you hinting at something?
Bucknell.
All right, fair enough. We'll keep that in mind. So kind of next on the list, we're going with Florida State, just because of, you know, what they dealt with last year and how good they were, and just being able to be that powerhouse team. I mean, obviously they lost Scotty Barnes, but any standout players you have here for Florida State, Zach?
I mean, you got to look at Cameron Fletcher, right? The transfer from Kentucky.
Oh yeah.
And this is also a team that's been to 3 straight Sweet 16 appearances. So, like, they have talent. Like,
right.
Everyone on that team, essentially, has postseason play.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And, you know, Cameron Fletcher's that 6'7 sophomore, 37th best prospect in high school. And then you got Caleb Mills from Houston.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, having him 6'4 redshirt sophomore coming in, I mean, he was their leading scorer, but I mean, they only had him starting 7 of the 31 games. So that's kind of like, it kind of defeated the purpose, and I can totally understand where he wanted to get out of that zone. I mean, wouldn't you? If you're putting up that many points and not getting the minutes, I would do the same thing.
Right, yeah. So. And, you know, you're not really playing for a Power 5 team. Now you're here in the ACC.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like Caleb Mills, this is his time to shine, you know? Like,
yeah,
he's playing hard defenses now. I have a certain team who I think has the toughest defense in the conference, and we'll get to them a little bit later.
Okay.
And a little teaser, they don't play in North Carolina.
Yeah, absolutely. But somebody that does is who we have next on the team with UNC. And talk to us a little bit about UNC and why you think they're going to be just a powerhouse this year, too.
Well, we'll start that. I get it's, you know, Hubert Davis's first year as the head coach. It's
right.
No longer Roy Williams.
That'll be interesting to see.
And they're finally adjusting to a 3-guard starting lineup, which I think other ACC teams are so used to Carolina being the big men.
That's what they're known for.
Right. So if Carolina can wing it around, and I think they get their shooters, you know, let them shoot, because I don't think other teams are going to be prepared for them not to, you know, dump it inside, do a little shady hook that Tyler Zeller did, that Tyler Hansbrough did, that John
you
Henson
still got,
did,
but
that
they still do
did.
Have Bacot inside, so, I mean, it would depend on that, too.
They do. They do. They have if they need him, but, like, if you get Caleb Love going,
mm-hmm.
that once you get your outside shooters going,
right.
like, Kerwin Walton had an edgy game against Elizabeth City State. He was the only starter not to be in double digits. He shot 1 for 5 from the field and 1 for 4 from 3.
Right.
But it's his presence. You know, that being outside, Bacot had 16, Garcia had 17, Davis had 12, and Caleb Love had 10. Like,
right.
If one player is having a bad day but the others are popping off, it's okay.
Yeah, and that's the thing. I mean, at the end of the day, I think that just them and having all their, you know, the weapons that they have, it'll be kind of tough to stop for a lot of teams. Especially, I thought this was really ironic this year, and I think, I mean, you can disagree with me on here if you think so, but I think it's ironic this year that Duke has kind of fell into the way that UNC usually plays basketball, having Paolo and Mark Williams down there, and then you're having UNC kind of turn into that with having the weapons that they have shooting. I think that's really ironic that they kind of swapped roles this year. So we'll see how it lines up.
And one other stat. You said Duke has one senior.
Right.
And Joey Baker.
Right.
Out of everybody that played for North Carolina against Elizabeth City State, mm-hmm. only one freshman was there, in DeMarco Dunn.
Right.
I mean, he didn't play much. You know, he played – He had 0 points, 0 for 1 shooting, but, you know, the game was over.
Right,
yep,
right.
But in that little bit of time, he did right. pick up a foul.
It'll be a lot of veteran veteran play this year, which will be interesting. And, of course, veteran leadership always starts with how Virginia plays basketball, who we got coming in next. You know,
if there's
we got
one the... team, if there's one team that knows about having upperclassmen playing basketball.
And playing defense, Virginia. It's always Virginia. And, I mean... Now they're gonna still have the strong, they're gonna have a strong backcourt this year. They're gonna have Kihei Clark and as well as Reese Beekman and Armon Franklin, the Indiana transfer. He was shooting. I mean, this is a guy that was shooting 42% in last season. So I mean, you know, I think in order for this team to really grow, I mean, Kihei Clark's got to be the guy that steps in and takes that veteran leadership role. I mean, if they want to keep up with Duke and Florida State and UNC, I mean, it's got to start there.
I mean, yes, I agree with all that. I also think Kihei Clark needs to stop turning the ball over. His
100%.
His handwork wasn't great. He had great footwork, but it's almost like he knew where he wanted to go, but then didn't know how to do it half the time.
But you now you made
into turnovers. It turned into kickouts.
You also made a good point about the reason that they might struggle on the big man side of the ball. Like, tell me why you think that.
Well. They're not big. they're just not that big.
I mean,
he averaged 2 points a game last season.
Yeah, that's exactly. I know. I remember you bringing that up. There was the fact that he only averaged 2 points per game, and he's probably going to be their starting center. Why would that?
I can do that, and I'm 5'9".
You just luckily get. I mean, most likely you get fouled.
No, it's not even luck. I'd go in there, drive inside, get fouled, go to the free throw line, and make
that's
two
what,
free throws.
That's what
Bam,
it is.
I'm average the same as him.
There you go. And. So next we kind of had, I mean, kind of going off of, you know, just having Chris Mack and all this and how they play basketball and how we know how they are a good team is Louisville. Talk to us a little bit here about Louisville. What do you think about them?
They're kind of a fresh new team in a sense. They have five newcomers. You know, they got Michael James and Roosevelt Wheeler. One's a wing and one's a center. And yep. then they had some signees from high school. You know, they had L. Ellis. And then he's coming from JUCO, Matt Cross, Jared West, they're transferring from Miami and Marshall respectively. But there's something about Louisville that if there's a Louisville fan out there, please explain to me how you feel during like last year. Your average score margin was 1.5. Like, yeah. how do you – that's like Detroit Lions stat.
Right. That's
your assist-to-turnover ratio was 1-for-1. You turned the ball over 17 times in an exhibition game versus Kentucky State earlier this week. That's insane.
That's what I'm saying. That's bad looks coming in. And, I mean, you know, the fresh thing that comes to my mind, of course, naturally for me being the Duke fan I am, is when they blew that huge lead they had at home against us when we had Zion and RJ and we came storming back within, I think it was, I want to say it was like 10 minutes left in the game. It was nuts. It was, and that's kind of what I'm saying. And this might happen again this year, depending on how they start, you know, it's either put up or shut up. And I mean, as good of a recruiter as Mac is, it could be interesting to see what happens and how it plays out. If they don't start actually showing up in the tournament and all this stuff, it could be detrimental for him, I think.
Yeah, so. I just don't. I mean, maybe that's why they signed so many new people. You know,
sure.
Maybe Chris Mack knows that. Chris Mack,
yeah.
The head coach, he's like, this did not work last year. So they
right.
bring in five new guys, and they're just
yeah.
going to
learn. I mean, I do like that he's starting from scratch like that, though. I do, I got to say. So, like, we'll see how it plays out for him.
Well,
but,
I'm sure you do, because Duke starts by scratch every year because everyone goes pro after.
That's
year.
Probably true. I mean, yeah, I really don't mind it. So, what was I going to say? Oh, yeah. So, we'll move on to Syracuse here. Syracuse. It's an interesting team
Syracuse.
To talk about.
Syracuse, or is it Boeheim University?
Is it Boeheim time to be a little – that's getting a little hot for Boeheim. I think that's one thing you brought up.
Yeah, you know, when
me.
I say Boeheim University, I say it jokingly because it's put up or shut up time for Jim Boeheim, the coach. But Buddy Boeheim, he might be a first-team all-ACC guy.
Oh, yeah. He's an incredible player.
And then they signed Jimmy Boeheim from Cornell.
Yeah,
who
that
was
just
Buddy's
that
brother.
Was just – I know. And they played against each other, actually, the year before. So that's really ironic, too.
So I'm guessing Bateheim won that?
Yeah, you can say that. I mean, it was an exhibition game, and it was it was a blowout. I know that for sure. But it was bad. Yeah, they're bringing in new forward, Benny Williams, who is a top 40 recruit. You got, like you said, you got his brother coming in from Cornell. I mean, and you got Torrance coming in from Marquette, and I just don't feel like this team, I don't feel like this team's going to be any worse than they were last year, because they're adding a lot of essential assets, I think, to their team that they were lacking. And I mean, some people leaving and all that. It's going to be one of those things that I don't think they're, I think there's, I hate to say it, but I think they're going to stay kind of where they're at. I think that they're not going to get worse, but I don't think they're going to get
worse. You say they're not going to get worse, but they did make the Sweet 16 last year as 11 seed. They beat San Diego State.
Right. See, there's what I'm saying.
They beat West Virginia in the round of 32. They lost right. to Houston, but
right. They go to that about that point though. That or Elite Eight. I don't ever see the Final Four. It's just like one of those things. It's like, are we content with this? You know what I'm saying? So that's why I kind of think that. But it's just kind of the question that has to be asked.
If Buddy Boeheim and Joseph Girard, if their backs do not hurt by the end of this season, then they don't deserve to be in
100%
in contention. 100%. Because if those two don't show up and carry that team, they combined for, what was it, 127 or so threes a season ago?
Oh, yeah.
Like, you don't want to be the guy that you're relied on. No. But at the same time, you do. Because you play in the ACC. These games are supposed to be close. And Absolutely. You have to have that elite shooter that can win the game for you.
Right. I agree. 100%. So... going off that, we'll move on here to Virginia Tech. So I will say this. I mean, for the first, like, Virginia Tech, a team that hosts Maine coming up, that's going to be the first game. I think the addition of Storm Murphy, the grad from Wofford, I mean, that guy was first team all SoCon player. I mean, I think him stepping in into that position now is going to be incredible, and I think that's something that they really lacked. And with, I mean, all the turnovers they had last year, I think that's going to be something big for them. Is there anything you want to add for Virginia Tech?
I mean, I think you nailed the most important part. You know, it's they have some fresh faces. They have Storm Murphy, but they don't have a couple guys. There's one guy in particular. He's been on that team for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
It's Fabisa Bide. You know, he was a point guard, and he's not there anymore. So is that a good thing or a bad thing?
It could be a good thing with how many turnovers.
He's kind of like Kihei Clark. He turned the ball over a lot.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And that's something that might get better this year. We'll see. But I mean, the fact that the number two player in the state of Oklahoma, Sean Padula, is going there, I think that's something that's really going to help them out. Adding that freshman talent that I feel like Virginia Tech doesn't usually cop every year on the, the top 100. They're not usually ones to be finding people out there and all that stuff. So a little sneaky talent. So I think this will be somebody that actually can be effective for them and help them out. So
I agree. They Virginia Tech, mark them down as a sneaky dark horse, but don't write them down as they're going to win the ACC.
Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree. All right, so let's move on here to NC State. So I'm going to let you kind of go on here on
the Wolfpack.
Let's hear what you think. I mean, I know you got the little insider here, let's figure it out.
Let you know, NC State made postseason last year. They didn't make the NCAA tournament, but they made the NIT. They lost to Ole Miss in the NIT, but they made the NIT. And do you know why they made the NIT? Because Duke declined to go.
that's accurate.
So record this, clip it off if you need to. Thank you, Duke. You know, without Duke doing that, I don't get to do postseason play.
That's what I'm saying. Duke basically gave you a raise. If you want to think
something
about
like, something like that.
So talk about this team. Tell me what this team is all about. This year.
So they lost some good players. Devin Daniels in particular, he was our elite star.
He was clutch last year.
Right. But, you know, he didn't play all of last year. Do you know why he didn't play all of last year?
Tell me.
Because he tore his ACL playing Wake Forest in Lawrence Joel Coliseum.
That's right.
Thanks a lot, Demon Deacons. But I say that jokingly, in a way. Not, you know, not 100%. But that showed that there are players like Jericho Helms, Thomas Allen. They needed to step up last year before they were seniors. And they have that leadership now because they were thrust into it last year. They also lost DJ Funderburk, which he kind of just left the program.
Yeah, he kind of fell off.
It really sucks because Funderburk, he was so good at rebounding.
Yeah, he was a
machine. Listen to this. He contributed in like 73% of second chance opportunities when he was on the court.
I know. It was
he kind of took the Roy Williams. I hate comparing Carolina State here because they both will attack me. But in a way, you know, Roy Williams is known for the tip drill, where, you know, if it ball goes on rim, tap it outside. He kind of did that. There was no point for him to go up strong and try to get the and one, but he would tap it outside, and then we would get, you know, a second chance.
100%.
And Darion Sebron and Manny Bates are going to have to step up. Manny Bates did not play in their exhibition game against Elizabeth City State, but that's because Coach Keats said, we don't want any more big men to go down, which leads you to believe that he doesn't think they're going to stay healthy in the early games. So that's something to watch out
for. Let me add this. So you did, I remember we were talking, you sent me the some video of some Breon Pass. And that boy can play some basketball, I will say.
My man is a stud.
So Breon on is what I say. Because I will say that kid is about to be something special there. Now, I'm not saying some Dennis Smith numbers or anything, but the boy's going to show out. And maybe I think he'll be a threat next year, too, if he stays. So, I mean,
I hope think he stays. He plays at NC State. We're not really known.
Yeah, maybe it'll be interesting to see. Right, exactly. Maybe he'll start the trend.
we don't need that.
So here's my other thing I was gonna say. Notable games for the rest of the season. For the rest of the week with other teams. You know, we got a couple of these. We've already talked about a few of these games, but give me some of these notable games that you think just with the ACC going around this week. And
so I'm gonna exclude the teams that I think are either dark horse teams or are expected to excel.
Okay.
So I'm leaving out Carolina. I'm leaving out Duke. I'm leaving out Florida. You know, teams like that.
Right, absolutely.
So I have Dartmouth versus Boston College. That's up on my list. And the reason I say that is because Boston College isn't usually a great ACC team. They're projected to win by 12. That's the spread. And
you never know.
ESPN puts a spread on it. It's because, for example, Virginia Tech hosts Maine. We talked about that a little bit. There's not a spread because there doesn't need to be a spread.
Because it's expected that they're going to win.
Right. Miami hosts Kinesis. That, you have something. You have a little
thing going on with my Kinesis. Cousin actually swam for Kinesis. It's up in Buffalo on Main Street. It's awesome, man. I think that's going to be cool. And, of course, I mean, naturally for her, I'll probably be cheering for him. I mean, just I think it's kind of cool to think about that. I'm a team from Buffalo playing. They're going to go it's another Buffalo versus Miami game, man. We can't escape that with the NFL. And now this is kind of crazy. But
there might be a chance that the team in Florida might beat the team in Buffalo.
Maybe. We'll see.
Not going to talk about the Jaguars beating the Bills 9-6.
Yeah, let's not. We don't need to talk about that. That was a whole separate city. That was Jacksonville. So we'll move on. And then we got
Presbyterian and Clemson.
Yeah, Presbyterian and Clemson. And here's another thing, man. I don't really know how I feel about Clemson this year. I think Clemson can always be a dark horse team just because they win the games they're not supposed to win. I think that's the best way to put it. That's just how their program has been for the last 5 years, I feel like. So that's one of those teams that you never know what's going to happen with.
Right. And then there's, you know, just very quickly, you have the Citadel and Pittsburgh. It's a notable game because I think Pittsburgh's head coach, Jeff Capel, will get more into this later, but I think he's in a hot seat. And if the Citadel beats Pittsburgh tomorrow, he's definitely
I think that might be, yeah, that'll be interesting to see.
That's the only reason I have them in this notable game. And last, but certainly not least, there's Wake Forest hosting William & Mary.
Yep, exactly.
And that game, and hey, I honestly might watch that game. Do you know why I might watch that game? Because it's not played until Wednesday. So all the other games are done. Wake Forest plays William & Mary on Wednesday. Florida State also plays on Wednesday, but they play at 9 o'clock while Wake plays at 7. So why not watch them both?
We got some good college basketball coming up. I mean, so with that being said, I mean, we're going to move on here to teams. I kind of felt like we can talk about teams that will probably benefit most from fans this year, because, I mean, obviously we know not every college basketball team had fans last year. So that'll be very interesting to see. What are some teams, notable teams, you think that really would kind of will be able to benefit the most from having fans?
The Cameron Crazies are at the top, obviously. I don't think anybody needs to explain why they are the top team with their fans. You know, earlier today, I was in my car, and every time we touch, played on the radio, and it gets me into it. And
It's hard not to vibe.
And you think of Duke. If you've ever been to Cameron Indoor, which I understand it's very hard to get a ticket to Cameron Indoor, especially this year.
Especially this year. Yeah.
You know, a little teaser for you. But when you get there and you're sitting in your seat, which you don't sit very long because usually you're standing up the entire time.
Correct.
Because one, the seats are very small. Two, the energy. You're just one with Duke.
I'd also say the seats aren't very comfortable.
Or a state guy. Like you, the second you're in Cameron Indoor, it's the vibe. You're sitting there, and then the PA puts on Every Time We Touch. The lights go down, and you see the student section, and they're doing the whole little drum roll thing. And then bam, 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 bam. It just goes off, and then the players come out. And then Coach K comes out.
Yeah, wow. If you haven't been Cameron, whether you're Duke, Carolina fan, whatever you're a fan of, it's definitely a place to try. I mean, it'll change your outlook of basketball, honestly.
And I mean, I think it shows perfectly why Duke's at the top of this list is because last year they weren't very good.
No, absolutely not. And I think a lot of that derived from there. I mean, that's something that people that commit to Duke and going to the school expect, and that's part of the vibe that they have, and that's how they feel. And it's the same when you go to Carolina or you go to Florida State's one of them too. We were talking about it's just electric in there. And we did put Cuse on this list because of the size of the stadium. I wouldn't necessarily say that it's gonna be like that's the only reason. I think that just because they're used to it, people like Boeheim who have been playing with fans. They're going to be used to it.
I don't necessarily think Syracuse fan like I don't think Syracuse fans benefit from how big it is. I think the team itself benefits.
That's what I mean. I completely agree.
they bring in more revenue, and you know it's one of those things.
Right.
It helps the vicinity, and it helps Syracuse out. You know, it's like wow, we're playing for our fans.
Right.
But long story short, they have a lot of seats, and if you need a ticket, you can probably get one.
Yeah, most likely. Or you might not be able to see anything, but you can go.
They have televisions.
That's true. So you kind of hit on it earlier. We were talking about the effects of kind of Coach K's last year. You talked about ticket prices. Obviously, we've seen tickets skyrocket. I already saw, just piquing curiosity, what a Duke Carolina ticket would be. I would kind of tell you. I mean, you know this. A ticket Carolina Duke game at Duke is typically over a grand. Typically,
it's usually about $5,000.
Yeah, and I went on this year, and it's already up to like $10,000. I mean, it's outrageous. A ticket, and that's one ticket, which blows my mind, and it just shows that everybody's trying to get in there. I mean, I wanted to see maybe a Winston-Salem State game. The Winston-Salem State game that didn't count. The game didn't even count. The ticket was $250 each. I was blown away. And I was just it's unreal. I mean, how expensive
I bet you could go to a Duke at Wake Forest game for about $500.
I don't know if they'll even charge.
The fact that it's that cheap, and I say that very I use the word cheap in quotes because I get $500 still a lot of money. But $10,000
Oh yeah,
is absolutely asinine.
Oh, it's absolutely outrageous. And I mean, we'll see how that media coverage and all that stuff with Coach K, you know, it could be kind of like the Zion thing where there were cameras constantly following him around. I'm hoping that doesn't happen with Coach K this year. I'm hoping that the team doesn't get distracted from the goal at hand, and that's really being able to go win the championship. Now, so we'll see.
Now,
I mean,
while we're still talking about Coach K, mm-hmm. I have a question for you as a fan, not mm-hmm. unbiased. I want this as a fan.
Mm-hmm.
Say Duke starts conference play 0-3. Like, you know, very hypothetical.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think Coach K steps down, not necessarily retires, steps mm-hmm. down as head coach, brings up John Shire, but Coach K's still there, but he's directing.
Still sits with him and stuff? Yeah.
Right. Do you think that happens?
No, that's a good question. I really don't think it happens, just because I do think a lot of this decision that he could have had the decision and gone with the same route that Roy Williams went with, and that was that he decided not to coach the season and announce it at the end of the year and do what he did. But I think that he still has the passion for coaching, which is why he wants to do it one more time. And I don't think he wants to step away from that, because here's the thing. At the end of the day, when he's done at Duke and coaching Duke, he's still going to work there at the school. So he's still going to have his office and all that stuff. So I think that if he really wanted to do that, he would have just let Coach Shire step in, because the fact that he's already there, I think that it's already going to be fine for him. But like I said, we'll see. But that's coming from me, that's what I think. And I think that that's how it's going to play out. So
that's fair enough. I was just curious.
It's a good question, though. That's a
see how a Duke fan thinks.
Yeah,
about
so
it,
that'd be
know,
cause, right.
Because me as a Carolina/State, I can say both, because I cheer for one, I work for the other. I would love it if Coach K just stepped down and John Shire took over.
Yeah.
Like, but I can also see why he wouldn't.
Right.
Because if it, you know, since it's his last year, do you want to put an asterisk by it?
Right. Did you really win that championship? Like, say we did win, even if we win the ACC championship, do you feel like you won it that year on your last year if you're sitting on it, just sitting there? Coach K is not going to feel that way. So at the end of the day, that's why I think it. But,
And you say if Duke wins the ACC championship,
mm-hmm.
right? That's what you just said.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Florida State is the team to beat.
Right, and I think a lot of that now. Here's what I think. The reasoning is because the two teams I think that could knock off Florida State. I always think Carolina, because Carolina somehow, even if they don't win the ACC championship, they usually still always stay near the top of the seed. So they always fight Florida State for that top spot. The other one is Duke, just because of all the new freshmen coming in, and also the return of Mark and how we saw that he was striking in the ACC tournament last year. I think that'll be something to watch for. And I think that same with Carolina, we're going to see how their big men compete with Florida State's. That's always a problem, because they always have ginormous big men. But other than that, I think that Florida State will really be the team. I mean, other than being the team to beat, I think Duke and Carolina are also in that tier. So
you know what's interesting is We kind of just floated over Georgia Tech. Like, they won the ACC championship last year.
Right.
Like, I don't want to say we just, like, you know, left them on the couch, but I just don't think that they're that impressive.
Well, there's just so much change in their roster. I just don't think that they don't have the power that they had last year. And I think a lot of that, too, though, I mean, we got to think of also the reason they won. What did they won? They won because
The teams gave
them the championship. So it was almost like it was handed to them. So, yeah, I mean, as much as – I'm not saying it's not impressive. They had a great season, obviously, and they had incredible players and how everything played out. But it was handed to them at some point in time. So you got to think of it that way. But we will see what Georgia Tech does. I mean, I do think that – I don't think he makes ACC first team, but I think Michael DeVoe is one of those guys that could stand out for him, and we'll see what happens. But, I mean, that's still to come. But, yeah, like we talked about a little bit. Dark horse teams, though. I mean, we said that, like we said, Florida State, Duke, Carolina, top. Who are some dark horse teams we have here in the ACC thing?
So, in no particular order, I think Clemson, they're such a dark horse team. They're either going to be really good or they're going to be really bad. I don't think they go in there. And then you got the Hokies. Again, you know, we said this 1,000 times. They lost their starting point guard that's been there for 5 years, but he also turned the ball over 18,000 times.
Yeah. Now, their big man might step up. Their big man might step up, so we'll see.
You got NC State, who is always a dark horse. They're never the team to beat, but they always slide in there. You know,
but they always beat the teams. Enough games
to make it interesting.
Yeah, exactly.
And then you have the team that not long ago won the national championship in Virginia.
Right. And that's some defense, obviously, that's always, you know, gives people problems.
It's always an incredible game to watch. It's an incredible game to watch. If you've never watched a Virginia game, you got to watch one.
You might. I mean, if you can make it through it, man. I've almost dozed off.
You got to watch one all the way through, all 40 minutes, and see if that final score eclipses 50 points.
And tell us what you think. But so let's go by here. Give me your ACC first team. Kind of we're wrapping things up with players and coaches here. What do you think about the first team looking forward for this year?
Well, this is why Virginia's on the list besides their defense is Kihei Clark.
Yeah,
I think he figures out he doesn't have to do everything. I think he calms down the turnover assist ratio.
Right.
And I think he's a definite front runner for the ACC first team. But I want to say a definite first team in the ACC, and it's going to be shocking if he does not make it, is Buddy Boeheim. We might pick on Jim Boeheim. We might pick on Syracuse as a whole. But you have to tip your cap to Buddy Boeheim.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And, of course, you know who I'm going to say, too, is Paolo Banchero. I mean, the guy's a animal. You even said it yourself earlier. He's going to take Duke to the next level this year. He's somebody that everybody predicts easily. I think he'll easily win freshman of the year if he stays healthy. I just don't see him doing anything that'll detriment him being a top lottery pick. I mean, that'll be somebody.
I don't see a lot of Duke freshmen staying healthy an entire season.
We'll see about that. We'll see about that. I'm going to.
Are his shoes good?
I don't know, man. I guess he can pick his own now. He can sign with his own thing now. Zion couldn't do that in college there. So,
be Shaquille O'Neal. Sign with Skechers.
So we also got, what did you think of, you said you wanted
to. We got Armando Bacot. Yeah, we got the unicorn. We got the unicorn.
He think he's going to step up? I mean, like we said, it'll depend on how much y'all use that outside game this year. I mean, y'all might not need him to step up that much.
Right. If the outside game for Carolina is stellar, I don't think Bacot makes first team. But that's because he becomes an afterthought. But
let's say that's the case. We move that. We put Paolo at four, and then who you got at three? I think at three. I mean, there's so many options. I would put at three. I mean, just with how many different players could step up this year. I mean, honestly, I could really even see Breon being at three, depending on how much he steps up. I mean, if he has a crazy season or something.
I mean, Oregon, you said honorable you mention. Saw his highlight. I sent you his highlight reel.
Dude, it was pretty. I mean, he was the three. Impressive.
His range is like Dame time, but it then is. He can also go in like Zach LaVine inside.
Right. It'll depend to me how much he's actually like physically moving and how much he's constantly off the ball presence is going to be huge for him. Because if he can get open and hit that shot, that's how Steph Curry makes those things. He moves on the off the ball, gets open and hits him, and that's going to be huge for him. But moving on from
some honorable mentions. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, like Caleb Love, he could show up for Carolina. He didn't really do a lot last year for Carolina, in my opinion. I don't think he lived up to the hype last year.
Right. But so he was right to stay another season. But Michael DeVoe, like we talked about earlier, Georgia Tech, that could be the key for them. I mean, you know, they had Moses Wright last year stepped up. So you never know. They need that one person. That could be him. I think that Mark Williams is going to be one of those guys for Duke that's going to go above and beyond what he's expected. During the tournament, I mean, he had a game where he had, I think, 17 rebounds, which is outrageous, or I think it was 14 or something like that. It was crazy. So hoping that all works out. I mean, and like we said, Isaiah Wong, I mean, out of Miami, he was incredible. So that's another person you never know how he's going to do. I mean, he was effective for them last year, so I could see him actually leading them a lot. He's going to have to, though, for them to do too much. I mean, Isaiah Wong and
yeah.
What do you think about Aluma there too at VT?
I mean, yeah, he's on an honorable mention list, but
for a reason. I mean, with that's what I was saying with Wong.
Virginia Tech has to figure themselves out first.
Right, but he's going to be their go-to guy inside, and that's what I think is going to really help them.
Well, yeah, but I'm not, at this point, just looking logically at statistics, I'm not worried about a Virginia Tech, their inside game.
Fair enough.
Until they show up.
Fair enough. I respect that. So I wanted to talk about, let's close here. I wanted to talk about, what did you think about what coaches on the hot seat here? I know you had a few in mind. You already said, we talked a little bit about Jim Boeheim, and I think you're right.
Number one on the list. If you are listening to anything I have said, Jim Boeheim is on the hot seat for multiple reasons. One, he's past his prime, to put that in a nice way.
100%.
He's past his prime. He's in his 70s. He could retire happy.
Yeah.
And I mentioned Jeff Capel from Pitt.
Mm-hmm.
But I think his recruiting isn't stellar. His postseason play is not a great record.
Here's the crazy part to me. I thought he was going to be a great recruit because he was a great recruit when he was at Duke. So when he went over there, I was expecting things to get better. They haven't really. I thought they were. They were his first year, like middle of the year, and then it kind of fell off.
I'll tell you why he was a great recruiter for Duke and not Pittsburgh. It's not hard to sell Duke.
That's fair enough. Yeah, absolutely.
It's hard to sell Pittsburgh, who can't decide what conference they want to stay in for the long run.
That's fair, too. That's true. No, I get you there. And, I mean, I mentioned to you Jim Larranaga, for instance, Miami. I don't think necessarily that they put him on the hot seat. I think he just retires because he's so old. But they're getting nowhere with him there. And, honestly, I mean, I had to say Mike Bray, too, because
Notre Dame. Speaking of teams that don't want to talk about conferences, I know this isn't football.
Yeah. Oh, gosh, yeah. I just don't understand. So I think that Mike Bray is going to be one of those guys, too, that's on the hot seat. We're going to see what happens this season, man. This is going to be
We're missing one coach. We're missing one coach who's on the hot seat. There's one coach that put him on the list, number one. He will not be the head coach next year.
It's Mike Krzyzewski. It's Coach K. Yeah,
he will not be at Duke University.
He's already out.
For the first time since 1500.
First time since we've been alive. But yeah, man, I think this is going to be a great season. We're going to see what happens. We'll assess it all coming up here. And we'll check in after this first week here and see what goes down.
Absolutely, man. We'll be right back on the drive. Right. We'll be talking NFL later in the week. And we'll be back in.
All right, man.
College basketball in the ACC.
That's right, man. From us here at Mike's Divided, have a great night and enjoy the rest of your week.